Now we come to something that I consider quite a highlight of the day. Other people might disagree. I think it is a highlight because after all the talk by all the developers who use this stuff and who develop it, we also have a talk by somebody who uses Osmocom software for a very long time. I think since 2010 or so, nine even. Yeah, I mean, we started with OpenVC in 2008, so you can see how early that was. And not only use it, but also do a lot by funding a lot of the development that initially Holger did and some other people now are doing. So I'd like to welcome Roch-Alexandre Nominee of OnWaves to give his talk about how they use Osmocom in a commercial network.
Thank you very much, Harald. Hello, everyone. So I'm going to give a little bit of background about what OnWaves is. OnWaves is a maritime GSM operator, which means that we operate on everything which is more or less floating. Let me see if I can increase. I don't have so much choice in terms of increasing the scale. Is it slightly better or not at all?
I don't think we can do much about it now. I'm sorry, but the slides will be published.
There is a Zoom.
Oh, there is a Zoom, a digital Zoom. Oh, ha, 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 ha.
First technical achievement. So OnWaves is a maritime GSM operator, which means that we put GSM networks on board ships. We started back in 2007. The company is actually based in Reykjavik with office in Reykjavik and on Paris. We are the subsidiary of Iceland Telecom, which is the incumbent operator in Iceland. So it's a large, small operator there. We operate mostly on everything which is floating, meaning today we put base stations on board vessels that are 20 crew members. It goes from, I think we have today, from 20 crew members to 5,000 users on board one ship, so multiple market segments. We operate our own end-to-end core network, which means that we almost don't rely on our parent company to provide any technical services to us. The rest is. So market segments, we started with cruise vessels and ferries. Well, for one obvious reason, those were the larger kind of ships we could operate on. We moved to offshore, commercial, fishing, meaning really everything which is floating, and every vessel which, of course, spends a little bit of time at sea. If the vessel spends 11 months in port, it's really not of interest for us. We were actually mostly an inbound roaming operator, meaning we started without having zero customers. And we have started to develop a prepaid offer a few years ago. So today we provide SIM cards to the crew members, and they can use those SIM cards on board the ship. Offshore, we use roaming sponsors to do that. And of course, we still have our main inbound roaming revenue stream. Some of the vessels we operate, so it's really all kind of ships. Meaning, you have very ugly ones on the top left, very nice ones on the bottom right, and you even have the one in the middle is actually the one owned by the Microsoft. One of the two Microsoft founders. Yeah, so they use open source technology at school. it's a very just to give you about an idea about how the network is. So we use a combined BTS and BSC on board. That came a little bit historic, meaning the first system we were using was actually a combined BTS and BSC. And we realized after that it was a very good setup for a maritime environment, because it's very seldom that you have handovers between ships. So all the ships are connected using stabilized VSAT antenna. Everything then comes back to our core network, which is located in Iceland, and then we go over the PSTN. Again, it's a normal, in a sense, it's a normal core network, meaning we have an MCC MNC, we have global titles, we have normal roaming agreements there. So it's not a private, it's really a public network. So I was talking about the combined BTS and BSC. Well, you can see it here. It's actually very, very close to a Sysmo BTS. We have some small hardware difference, but apart from that, the base is exactly the same. It's PoE driven, so most of the time we deploy using a PoE injector or a PoE switch, and we put a few base stations on board, or we connect the base station to a DAS. It has its own integrated GPS receiver. We don't use it actually to, there is an OCXO inside, so we don't use the GPS for that. We use the GPS in order to know the location of the vessel and when we can operate and when we have to deactivate the radio. So we operate using half rate channels, so that makes up to 12 simultaneous calls. Which is more than enough for most of the applications. We have done, I'm going to go over it on the next slides, but we have done a lot of work in order to limit the amount of idle traffic that we use. Today it's far less than 5 megabytes a month, and also to limit the amount of bandwidth that we use for a call. Today we are around 8 kilobits per second IP bandwidth. So some example of coverage. Just the access unit by itself can cover something like a 40 meters radius on the ship. You have to think that the ship is a pile of metallic box. So the coverage, the propagation there, I would say does not, it's going to be very, very hard to plan any kind of coverage on the ship if you don't use, I would say, wet finger approach. Medium size solution, the maximum output power of the Sysmo BTS is 23 dBm. And with those 23 dBm, you can drive up to something like 4 or 5 antennas. So providing coverage on each of the deck of the ship. Again, that's for a small, pretty small ship. So that's what we call a passive DAS coverage. And the setup there is extremely easy. We use asymmetric splitters. So those are, depending on the splitter, we use 7:1, 4:1, 5:1, in order to have more or less the same output power for each antenna. I was talking about of course we operate into a licensed frequency spectrum. So we don't have the right to let to transmit in port. So in order to fulfill that need, the system is automatically going to disable the GSM, the TRX, when the vessel is going to come close to the shore. So we get the location of the ship every 5 minutes. And depending on the location of the ship, depending on the country, we are going to switch off at 12 nautical miles or 2 nautical miles, or we are going to leave the system on if we know that, let's say, it's an unmanned island. again, if the GPS is being asked, there is some kind of, I would say, legal, meaning we can end up in some serious legal issues if the system continues to transmit. If the BSC is disconnected for more than 400 seconds, the radio is going to turn itself on, even if there is no communication to shore. We operate on board ships. We operate with satellite-based links, and I think this represents most of our challenge actually. There is absolute most of the system that we use. There is absolutely no support for any kind of QoS. Most of those systems make an extremely heavy use of port address translation. So there is absolutely no way to meaning, and we don't want to get that anyway, but meaning you cannot get a public IP address end to end. Most of those vessels, they have some crazy firewall rules. That means so we need to limit the number of ports, and we need to limit as much as we can the requirements that we have on their IT. The typical bandwidth for the entire vessel itself is usually something like 128 kilobits per second, 256, and that's for all applications on the ship, meaning internet access for the crew, office, voice calls, everything. The round trip time is most of the time way over 800 milliseconds. So of course, the round trip time for the satellite itself, it's about 700 milliseconds. But then you have to take into account the time from the ship to the satellite to the earth station to our switch in Iceland. And most of the time, the jitter is way over 200 milliseconds. I mean, it's really, really rare that we go below 100 milliseconds. Packet loss is huge. And those are for VSAT-based, so meaning VSAT-based system. You have other type of systems using on-demand links, meaning which are more, in terms of technology, close to GPRS over satellite. And there, the meaning the values for jitter on packet loss on delay just go sky high. As Harald mentioned, we started. We started to work with you guys back in 2009. I think it followed an announcement about OpenBSC. I think the most complex thing was actually to convince Harald that we would bring this system into production, and that it was not that would not be a toy anymore. I think we have contributed. Meaning, when I say contributed, we don't write code ourselves. We ask Sysmocom. We worked with Holger for a long, long time. To write code for us, and then they submit it back to the OsmoCom project. I think, of course, we started to work with Osmo BSC. We introduced the concept of BSC NAT. We introduced the concept of Osmo GB proxy. Worked on something called Osmo STP, which we used in the beginning to connect to some circuit-based equipments. OSMUX, and finally the ASN1 TCAP map stack implemented in Smalltalk. I think that since 2009 we have had an equivalent of, I would say, one or two permanent employees working on the OSMOCOM project. I think that something like 95% today of our, let's say, BSS side software is actually open source and is actually based on the OSMOCOM platform. The only thing which is not open source is and it's a very small piece of software. There's almost nothing there. It's the piece that gets the GPS position. What was the life before OSMOCOM? Yes. That's back in 2007. Meaning it's, to be honest, that's back in 2001. Because the meaning nothing, meaning the system has stayed the same from 2001 to 2007 before we created OnWaves. It's an interwave. Yeah, we started meaning the one our first GSM system. I think you still have the interwave logo on it. That's a 2TRX BS plus. No. Ah, well, yes, but that came later. But that's the real one in the. So before we started with Osmocom, we were using at that time a circuit-based Ericsson GSM MSC. We were using the Interwave BS Plus, which was a fantastic equipment, almost. For its time, it was not too bad. So that one was a 2-watt base station. The one you have seen was a 2-watt base station. We then moved to 25 or 50 watts base stations that we had to attenuate. We were using some proprietary signaling gateways. So those signaling gateways were converting from SS7, MTP2, MTP3 to some kind of MTP3 over SCTP. And we were using some Cisco devices in order to do again TDM to G7. We were using G7 to 3.1 at that time to carry voice over the VSAT link. So that was a very very static configuration, meaning you had one E1 trunk for each vessel, one signaling gateway for each vessel, one signaling gateway on board. It's all TDM based. 90 kilograms, 80,000 euros. And it was really a crazy setup. But again, when you were deploying on board ships where you have 5,000 customers and they were paying something like 4 or 5 euros per minute, it's okay, you can survive. So the first task, and we have been helped there in the sense that we purchased more or less at the same time we started to work with Osmocom. Well, with Osmocom at that time. We just purchased an IP access circuit BSC, and we had also the access to the IP access soft BSC. So it was really easy for us to take trace, to compare, in order to help the development without having to look at the specs and without violating the NDA that we had with IP access. So again, all the implementation has been done without any support from the BTS vendor or BSC vendor or even the soft switch vendor. And we started by implementing the EA interface using the SCCP Lite, which is kind of proprietary, but I would say a little bit standard at the time. Meaning, remember that most of the MSCs back in 2006, 2007, they were all circuit. There was almost nothing IP-based. And I think Holger will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the implementation has actually been done in something like two or three months maximum. So that was the phase one. Was in the first attempt to get the IP access BTS connect to OpenBSC, have the A interface implemented on OpenBSC, and have it talk to a soft switch, and even to a point at one point, meaning at one point of time, we even managed to get OpenBSC talk to the Ericsson MSC. Of course, this setup has very limited scalability. You still need to define, even if it's soft, you still need to define one trunk for each BSC. And you need to, there is absolutely no support for IP access, meaning for IP address translation, nothing. And we had also to take care of the non-standard SDP implementation that had been done by IPXS at the time on the audio codes media gateway. So that was seriously a pain. So we introduced a new equipment named BSCNAT. The idea behind the BSCNAT is that actually we would multiplex everything on the IPXS protocol. So we started to put, of course, the interface, then MGCP over the in the same TCP stream, which made it completely, meaning then it was extremely easy to go through any type of NAT, and we kept the A and MGCP interface towards the MSC. So there was nothing to change on the MSC side, and actually that's really what enabled us to move into production. So from the MSC point of view, it's one BSC. You can support hundreds or thousands of remote BSCs. So we implemented MGCP on the BSC acts as a RTP MGCP proxy towards the BSC NAT. So contrary to I think we have seen a few presentations this morning, the voice flow goes through the BSC to reach the BSC NAT. Then we added support for the control interface. The reason why we thought, okay, we have a nice multiplex. Why not use it in order to remote control the BTS? And the idea there was to get reports of the GPS position of the vessel and to be able to send back deactivation commands. So that's exactly what has been implemented. That's the reason why you have this set, get, track paradigm. And then we just used an external interface on Osmo BSC, which is still, again, reusing the same IPA, meaning IPXS protocol, in order to submit the location, the GPS position of the vessel. Another issue that we had to face was, meaning I was talking that the entire bandwidth available on the ship is 250 kilobits per second. If you just use normal RTP, we use AMR at 5.9, you end up with an IP stream which is more or less at 24 kilobits per second, which is just not acceptable for this type of satellite link. The other thing also is that RTP is using multiple UDP ports, and again, that's a pain with firewalls on access list to manage. So what we did is, you have the normal RTP frame. You realize that I think actually we have something like 40 bytes. We have 40 bytes of header for something like 15 bytes of payload. And that's for 20 milliseconds, which is absolutely insane. So we introduced the EOS MUX protocol that you are all free to use, meaning it's part of the main Osmo BSC. So we introduced the EOS MUX, bringing back the idea of circuit, where in one OS MUX frame, which usually contains something like eight samples, but that can contain more, meaning you decide. You can have payloads from one voice circuit. You can have payloads from multiple voice circuits, all in one UDP frame. So I have some nice diagrams actually that have been made by Harald. Pablo. Oops. Well, you see that depending on the, so on the left hand side, we use a batch factor of one, so that's one frame per circuit, meaning one frame per concurrent call. You see that, meaning we reach something like 80% efficiency If you have 8 simultaneous calls using a batch factor of 8, then you have again, I think you reach the maximum efficiency about six calls. You go down to less than 8 kilobits per second. And you have not touched anything, meaning it's still the same AMR payload. It's using only one port, which is then it's extremely easy to integrate. Some words about data. It's not the part I'm mostly proud of, and I'm going to tell you why. We have not done much there. The only thing that we have done so far is actually to introduce the concept of Osmo GB proxy. And the reason there was that the IP access BTS had some serious issues reconnecting if the VSAT link was gone. So the main job of the GB proxy is actually to reply to NS alive messages and make the IP access BTS believe that the NS VC is always there. We have also used the Osmo GB proxy in another way. It's to be able to convert between BSS GB over UDP to BSS GB over frame relay, because actually RSTSN is frame relay only. So, issues we face there. We have had huge difficulties, and we still have to replace the Simin hosted, so the Simin meaning Iceland Telecom hosted SGSN. There are a few reasons for it. First, the main reason is actually it's used for roaming tests. So then we had issues to connect to their GRX. To their GRX access because of filtering, again, filtering issues. Then you need to be able to produce CDRs using the same Ericsson format, that they are already processing. And then you end up with their absolute laziness and unwillingness to replace any of their own equipment with one of ours, or even more worse, with something open source. We have actually no other choice than to support MAP because of our inbound roaming business. So, meaning we really need to support MAP. And another thing that we face is that, meaning the system with those 2 GB proxies is fine, but it's extremely noisy. So, as long as we activate GPRS on one chip, the amount of data that we use for nothing is really, really high. I mean, you have flow control, you have BVC keep alive all the time. So the first thing we have done is that we introduced a way in the GB proxy to be able to route GPRS traffic to different SGSNs. So depending on the EMZ. And actually, you will see the same in the BSC NAT. Depending on the EMZ, you can decide which SGSN you're going to send traffic to. So we send all roaming traffic to the Ericsson SGSN. We send all non-roaming traffic, meaning our own traffic, to Osmo SGSN. The other thing that we have done is that Holger has developed for us a MAP proxy. So the MAP proxy is basically a MAP, meaning the MAP side of an SGSN with a GSAP interface that can connect to Osmo SGSN. So every location, meaning update location, attach request can be sent over the SSM network using the MAP proxy. The second evolution that we're going to do, and that's going to that's a work in progress that we have with Harald, is to move the SGSN on board and to create the concept of a GTP proxy. So instead of sending BSS GB over satellite, which is really inefficient, we're going to do GTP over satellite, which is way, way more, meaning it's meaning you have a few keep alive per, I would say, minute or seconds, and that's it. keeping the GSAP, meaning the MAP protocol, in the IP access multiplex. Just to complete, I have something. A little bit interesting there. A few years ago, we started an MSC project. The reason was that we had difficulties at that time with the soft switch vendor. They had been purchased by a crazy Irish company. So we started a project to replace that soft switch. In order to replace that soft switch, of course, you need a TCAP, MAP, CAMEL implementation. And that's what Holger has started with people from Tudenker to implement in Smalltalk using Faro, a dialect of Smalltalk. And the funny thing is that that MSC project died, but we ended up with a MAP proxy, an HLR, an SMS home routing platform. There it is.
So, okay, thanks. We're slightly over schedule, but still, I think we have a chance to take a couple of questions. So, if there are questions, please raise your hand. Question.
Since it's a commercial application, how do you handle the fulfillment of obligation with regards to essential patents that are related to the protocols?
Well, I think most of the patents for GSM are actually extinct. I'm not completely sure there.
It's difficult to make a statement, but yes, I mean, since GSM, we're talking about 2G here, has first been deployed in the early 1990s, I think 91, 92, the patents on GSM should have expired all by now, right? It's 25 years or 20 years or something, so it clearly has passed by now. I mean, it's not a 3G network, it's not a 4G network, so...
Yeah. And the other issue we had with patents was AMR, but the thing is, actually, we don't do anything with AMR. We use media gateways that process the AMR, meaning the patent is paid there. And it's actually the phone which is sending the AMR flow to the base station.
Any more questions? No. Okay. Okay. I'm surprised. Okay. But anyway, good. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you very much.